And as I boarded the plane and I took my seat, I found myself crying again. Crying because I didn't want to go back home again. Crying because I didn't want to return to my prison again. And my life in The Hague sometimes feels as a prison. Crying over a boy again. Just so much crying. Hey, welcome back to This Expat Life. I am so happy that you are here. For today's episode, I want to share a few more personal insights, personal stories, because I just came back from a trip to the US, well, a little over a week ago at the time of recording, but it still feels very vivid and present in my head. And I wanted to share some reflections I had during and after that trip, and also about the energy that I came back with and the great reset project that I have started, which is, well, I'll share more about that later. But I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to share this whole story with you guys, because I thought it feels personal. It's nothing big. Will people even enjoy listening to this? But then I figured I am going to share it, because one, whenever my mentors or people that I looked up to shared something personal about their life, even the not so great things, I got a lot of inspiration, support, and relief from that. And I know that people had that with my episodes as well. Just yesterday, I got a message from someone saying, "Your podcast episodes have been the light of my life the last couple of months, so please make more episodes." And I was like, oh, wow, that is so kind. So that is one reason, because I really hope that I can inspire you with my own story. But the second thing is also that I want to invite you to bring your whole self to the table. That's what I do with my coaching. I really welcome you. I help you accept yourself on all levels with all your flaws and shadow sides as well, because only that way you can live a truly happy life. And I figured if I want to invite you to bring your whole self to the table, I need to do that too. And I have been doing that a lot in the past, but the last couple of months, I don't know what happened, but I kind of lost my spark a little bit. So to give you a very short recap, everything is fine. Everything was fine. I was pretty much enjoying my life in The Hague, but I was also realizing I was living from trip to trip, and I was loving my one-on-one coaching work, but I had no inspiration to really share much here on the podcast or to post on Instagram. Only my LinkedIn game was solid because I was following a program for that, and so I had to make that happen because of accountability. But everything else, I just felt a bit like, I felt a bit stuck, a bit like, I just lost my spark a little bit. And in the one-on-one sessions, I was fully there, but outside of that, it was just like, meh, a kind of this meh energy. And I think in hindsight, winter was affecting me much more than I had been realizing. I usually go to Latin America to escape European winter, and this year it was the first year that I didn't. I stayed in The Hague. I even went to Boston, where it was way colder. And so, yeah, I realized like I'm not in my best inspiring energy, not for myself, not for others. And this kind of made me withdraw a little bit. I wasn't sharing as much openly as I did before, even though I know you guys love some of the personal episodes. So thankfully, I was going to the US to go to a business event for my business mentor, James Wetmore. You may have heard about these trips before. I took his course a while ago, and then I also signed up for his year programs. And I'm now in my second year of his program, and it's just so good as always. And the program includes 3 live events in the US a year. And this was the first live event of 2025. And I went there, and as always, I add some trips to it. The trips are actually longer than the business event. I just don't want to fly back and forth for a couple of days. And I went to the US, and I always like to think about setting an intention for the event. And so my intention this year, or for this event, was to just find my spark back again, to not do everything on autopilot, and to really let my light shine again out in the open, not just in one-on-one coaching. And I am happy to say that I got my spark back. The event was really great. I had some insights there that were just like, yeah, this hits home. And one of the things that we spoke about at the event in a small group with one of the coaches was that, hey, it's so important to bring your whole authentic self to the table so that you can invite others to do the same. And that was exactly the thing that I needed to hear to get me started again with this podcast and to share openly and vulnerably as well. So today I want to share, as I said, a few reflections from that trip and the energy that I came back with. Again, hoping to inspire you. And if any of this hits home for you, please do let me know, because these messages are always really helpful in knowing, hey, whatever I create is relevant to you and is useful to you. This podcast is for expats for their personal growth, so that you can really enjoy your time abroad, but also really grow from it and to see it as a chance to get to know yourself better. And while I'm not an expat myself currently, you know, these trips that I take to the US also do something with me. So I'm hoping that whatever I share with you today resonates with you in some way. Maybe it doesn't apply with your life one-on-one completely, but maybe you see some parallels or you take some inspiration from it. So let me know if that is the case. So about this particular trip, I went to Phoenix, Arizona for a couple of days for this event, and it was just so good seeing all my friends again, being in this energy that I really love. It's a type of energy that I cannot find in my own surroundings here in the Netherlands. We all speak the same language when it comes to business and mindset, and it's just so, so inspiring to be around these people, and it always boosts my energy so much. So we had a few great days there. I learned a lot of new things for my business, but also about myself and my mindset, and that was all great. And then I went to New Mexico to go on a road trip, which was amazing too. That state is just so beautiful. And I had actually been dying to visit the state. And that is a funny story that I want to share first before I dive into the deeper stuff. A couple of years ago, I was doing a future self visualization. Now, maybe you've heard me talk about that before. I do them quite regularly. At the end of last year, I did them daily, which was amazing too, for 3 months in a row. I never was able to stick with something for that long. And I was doing this future self visualization, and I just do it freestyle. I used to do it with a guided one, which I also offer in my course Touch Base, by the way. But now I just do it freestyle because I'm really open and I have a good imagination, so it works really well for me. And I saw myself sitting on a porch, American style, overlooking some nature, and I couldn't quite pinpoint where it was. It wasn't a big forest or anything, but it also wasn't flat and empty. And I couldn't just really tell where it was. All I knew was that it's probably in the US because I'm on a porch and that's what those houses look like there. And I thought, cool, I opened my eyes again and I started my day. And then I was scrolling on Instagram and I was going through someone's stories, someone that I had been following, but I actually never saw her content. And I looked at her stories and she was doing some videos of her new house that she had just bought. She was showing the house. And as she walked through the door outside, she was entering a porch overlooking some nature. And I thought, oh my God, oh my God, that's exactly what I just saw in my visualization. And I was shocked. It was almost the same. So I right away screenshotted it and I wrote her, oh my God, this is literally the house I've just been dreaming about. And I stored it in my head as, okay, the place that I saw in my imagination actually does exist. And she had tagged her location there and it said New Mexico. So that's when I finally knew, okay, my visualization was actually in New Mexico, it seemed like. And this was a couple years ago. I stored it in the back of my head and I always thought like, oh yeah, New Mexico, New Mexico. There's something for me there. One day I'll go there. And then at the last event of my business mentor, I was talking to someone I had just met 5 minutes before. And I shared that I would love to spend more time in the US. And she said, where would you go? And I said, I don't know, but I like the Southwest. I like the dry, the heat, the desert. It's my thing. There's something for me there. I keep being attracted to that place. And she said, without knowing me, she said right away, you know where you should go? What I think you would love? Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I was like, wow, you don't even know me. And you shared that straight away with me. No one had ever suggested New Mexico to me. I thought, okay, I'm catching this again. There is something there for me. And so when I planned this trip to go to my business event, I thought, okay, I've done Arizona a couple of times. Let's go to a new state. Why don't I go to New Mexico? And there was someone who wanted to come with me, so that was perfect. And we had five, six days in that state, beautiful state. And on the last day, I was thinking, hey, or actually it was just before the end, I have that screenshot still somewhere with the location tagged. So I went into my photos, and there are about like 36,000, I think. So it was a bit difficult to find. And I found a screenshot, and I saw it was in Cedar Crest, New Mexico. And I looked it up, and it was 20 minutes away from Albuquerque. And we were finishing our trip in Albuquerque. So I asked my co-pilot, hey, could we go there and just like drive around a little bit just to see if I like it? And they were like, sure, let's go. So on our very last day, we drove up to Cedar Crest, and we drove up this, it's like a neighborhood, a suburb of New Mexico, of Albuquerque. And we drove up this hill, and we saw where people were living, but like with fences. So it was not really easy to see until we found a few more open spaces. And I was like full of excitement, like my house must be here. And then we just saw a shack and there was so much trash in the garden. And that happened again and again. So my friend was like, so Amanda, unpack your bags. This is your place to live. I'm like, ooh, not quite sure. But Cedar Crest was actually a little bit bigger than I figured initially. And so we drove around a bit more. And we went up the hill, and there, I think I saw my house. I'm not quite sure if it was that one. I saw three of them that had that kind of porch with the same view that I saw in my future self-visualization. But it was so cool to drive around there and to just be like, I actually saw this in my dreams a couple of years ago. And driving around, I asked myself, do I want to live here? And I figured, no. Maybe not now. Well, for sure not now, maybe later. The area was beautiful, but Albuquerque was just weird. And while New Mexico was beautiful too, it didn't grab me as much as Arizona did. And so, you know, I stored it as maybe one day there is something here for me. But I just wanted to share this story because I am a little bit spiritual and I open myself to other ways of decision making, different resources of information, rather than just the logical mind, the rational mind. It's very present in me too. But by opening myself up to different ways, I can make different decisions that are actually more aligned with what I truly want in the long term and what makes me feel good. And sometimes you go after something that it, you know, it turns out not to be the right thing for you. And maybe New Mexico was the case for me. But I'm just so happy that I actually followed up on my future self-visualization. I had it, I think it was 4 years ago. I drove to that place 2 weeks ago and I really went to look for the house. We spent 20 minutes finding that house and we found it, or we found three that looked really like that. And it was just really cool to be like, I actually saw this in my imagination, even though I didn't know anything about New Mexico, and now it actually exists. And it gives me the energy to have these future self-visualizations more and to explore about what they could mean for me. So even though I know I'm not moving to New Mexico, maybe one day when I'm like 60 years old, that is the place for me. If you're hearing a story and you're thinking, hey, this, it could be interesting for me too, do a future self-visualization and just open yourself to whatever comes up for you, because there might be a clue in it for you about what you want or need in your life. And in my case, this was really about like, hey, I like the desert. I like open views. I like a porch. Maybe it's not New Mexico, but it is that kind of vibe. Anyway, long story. That was the first, I don't know, reflection I wanted to share with you. I'm just really happy I went after it and didn't let my rational mind take over and be like, this is not important. This is weird. The second thing that happened in New Mexico, a bit more spiritual as well, which is more related to the real story I want to share in this episode, which I'm sorry, I think it's going to be a long one again, was that after the event, It was the first night after the event, I think. Yeah, I was already in New Mexico. I had a super vivid dream. Now, I dream a lot, especially until a few years ago. I had like 3, 4, 5 dreams a night. I would remember them all. At the moment, it's a lot less, thank God, because I always woke up exhausted. I still have a lot of dreams and they're usually really vivid. But this one was like super vivid. And it was a dream where I was walking around outside and there was a poisonous snake really close to me and he was ready to bite me. He was like really, you know, making those sounds and just warning me, be careful, I'm dangerous, I'm going to bite you. But what happened was that I kept falling on it. I kept standing on it. And so the snake only got more aggressive and really wanted to be like, hey, stop doing this. And when I woke up, I was just really like, this dream was really inside of me still. And usually if I want to decode my dreams a little bit, I look up, you know, symbolic meaning of snake or whatever, like I take it quite literal. But at the event, there was a presentation from a guy who was talking about dream interpretation. And I actually thought this presentation was a bit boring, so I wasn't paying that much attention. But apparently I did, because right away I remembered him saying, look, remember how you felt, remember what was going on, and translate that into some meaning. And so what was really going on in that dream was that there was something toxic wanting to bite me. So if I translate that to my life, it could be that there is someone or something that is trying to harm me or that can be dangerous to me, toxic in some way. But what was also going on was that I kept standing on it. So it's kind of self-inflicting. And when I had that dream, I thought about it, I knew right away what it was about. And I was like, oh yeah, it makes total sense. So that was the one part. And I thought, okay, good to know. I'll remember this. Done. Then after that dream, we went to get a coffee and we went to a coffee shop where there were postcards. And the first postcard I picked up was that of a snake. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was just dreaming of a snake. And by that time, I was already telling my travel buddy like, oh, here's the snake again. I think there is a meaning for me here. And that was it. I thought, okay, that, you know, I remembered it, done. And then the next day we were driving around and we went to a monument with like a super old ruins, really interesting. But there were people saying, look, look, there's a snake in the grass. And we saw a real snake. And I thought, okay, by now I'm getting the message. You know, there's no coincidence that 3 days in a row, I have these snakes coming into my life. Whereas I never dream about snakes. I never see snakes, not real, but not also in images. And now I have them 3 times in a row. There is some meaning for me here. But I kind of left it and I thought I'll figure that out later. The fourth day, there were no snakes. But then on day 5, we went to a hot spring. And believe it or not, there was a snake in the water. And I thought, okay, universe, what are you trying to tell me? And this is how open I am. I'm, you know, it's not rational, but I'm open to these signs. And so by then I was writing a few of my friends from my business course, because one of them specializes in spirit animals. And so I asked her, what is the meaning of this? Because I keep seeing it. And apparently, well, she wrote a whole big thing, but apparently snakes are really about transformation, about shedding old skin, about letting go of old beliefs that are not serving you. And when I got that message and read a little bit more, I was like, okay, I'm not quite there yet, but I am feeling that this transformation is unfolding itself. Because the months prior to it, I wasn't feeling my fantastic, energized self. And I was really coming to the US with the intention of getting my spark back again. And I thought, okay, if this snake is here and it's telling me that I need to let go of certain behavior and beliefs so that I can make a transformation happen, I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. So yeah, that was a really cool thing that happened on that trip, because it never really happens that I see so many signs about the same thing again and again. Now, you may listen to this and think like, Amanda, you're out of your mind. I have friends who think I'm way too spiritual and whatever. But to me, I take these signs as real signs. and not as like they're determining my future or whatsoever, but I am more than conscious of like, okay, something is telling me that it's time to let go of certain beliefs, behavior, perhaps an identity. What is this about? And where can I stop resisting it, basically? So that was really cool. That was a cool thing to happen. And I also really enjoyed that trip. New Mexico is amazing. And then it was time to leave. And the 2 days prior to my departure, I was already feeling like, oh, I'm not quite sure if I want to go home. And as I boarded the plane and I took my seat, I found myself crying again. Crying because I didn't want to go back home again. Crying because I didn't want to return to my prison again. And my life in The Hague sometimes feels as a prison. Crying over a boy again. Just so much crying. And for a good few hours, I felt miserable and I felt so sorry for myself. And sitting next to a mother with a baby in her on the middle seat also didn't help. But it was really this sense of like, oh no, playtime is over and I have to go back home and go to bed early because tomorrow school starts again. This is how it felt. And I realized I just felt so stuck in my life in the Netherlands. Every time that I travel, especially to the US, and I go to these business events, I just feel so different. I feel more like my authentic self. My ambition gets out, I get to play, I'm more extroverted. I feel more space because I see more space. I am surrounded by really inspiring people. I'm in a culture that I really like. And then I have to go back to The Hague, to my house that I am not fully enjoying, to a town that I love its nature and quietness and the beach so close by. But The Hague also feels like my lullaby. It sings me to sleep. And I will share more about this, I think, in another episode. But I really felt like, oh no, I have to go back to the place where I will be so stuck. And this has been an ongoing theme for me for the last 5 years or 4.5, ever since I moved here. Because when I moved during the pandemic into my new house after living in Brazil, 3 weeks later, my dad passed away. And I was going through a lot of grief and there were lockdowns and I got my heart terribly broken. And I had never felt so lonely in my life before. And I was stuck in this house most of the time because we couldn't really leave. And so the energy is still here. And it changed when I came back from Rio last year after having spent 6 months there. I came back in summer, and in summer, The Hague is wonderful. And I was really enjoying being back home again. But I realized on the plane that that whole stuck feeling was back. My prison was still here. And I really don't want you to take this wrong. Like, I'm very privileged that I own my own house and I live in a country that so many people dream of. Like, the things are so well arranged here. It's safe. It's, you know, like, I know all these things. And it's not like it feels horrible here. That's also not the case. But it is just okay. And I know it can be better because I have felt great before. So on that plane, there was this self-pity parade for a couple of hours. Like, oh, I don't want to go back to that life. It feels a bit lonely there too. And as I was crying over the stuckness and over my prison and over my love life, I thought at some point, Amanda, cut the fucking crap. Excuse my French. All of a sudden, I just felt so strongly. I'm so sick and tired of my own bullshit. Because this is not the first time that I'm on a plane crying over all these things. It has happened before and I'm still in this pattern. So cut the crap. Make changes if you're unhappy. And I just felt it so strongly on that plane, and especially when I came back home. I'm done. I'm done with this feeling all the time. And I'm especially sick and tired of my own bullshit, of repeating this story every time, of apparently staying stuck in this story. I have more agency over my life than I realize, and so do you, by the way. We often think a lot of things are not possible, but they are. And so I really came back with this energy of like, okay, it's time to cut the crap. You know, life is not bad here at all, but I don't want to settle for not bad. I want to go for great. And I'm not feeling fantastic in my life as it is right now. I'm loving my job. I love my friends and family here. There are a lot of other good things going on, but I know there is more possible for me. I know there is a next level. And I also know that this environment isn't going to unlock it for me, this environment being The Hague. And I also know that some patterns in my life are also not unlocking this for me. So I knew, okay, it's time for a real change. Because what I had been realizing was that I had been keeping myself small. At the beginning of this year, I set 4 big goals, and my word for this year was exponential. And I was taking action towards those goals, but on that plane, I realized it's not big enough, this action. There's actually way more possible than I'm doing right now. And I also realized, okay, I am moving forward towards my goals, like it's in progress, but it's not an exponential growth. It's just like slow steps. Slow, small steps on top of each other. And I realized there was a hidden belief of like growth must take a long time and it comes in slow steps. It's almost like, okay, I know exponential growth exists. We've all seen it during COVID. I know it also exists for other people. But for me, it's almost like I don't believe it's possible. And on that plane, I realized I'm done. I want to go for exponential growth. Because there are changes in my life, but the changes are not big enough. They're not yet driving me really to my 4 big goals. So I really came back more with this like masculine energy of taking action. And what I realized also is that in the last couple of years, I've been giving the soft side, so to say, so much space, you know, like feeling all your feelings and accepting who you are, which, don't get me wrong, is essential if you want to love your life and make changes and just feel good in wherever you are. But I realized I was also kind of comfortable in it. You know, I gave myself a lot of space to heal after my parents passed away, to grieve, to get over relationships. Whenever I had an off day, you know, I'm really kind to myself and I'm not forcing myself to take action all the time. And that's good. I needed that because this soft side was completely lacking until 2020, if I'm honest. But now I'm slowly coming back to, okay, we've had the soft side for a couple of years, although there was also a lot of action there because, you know, I quit my diplomacy career, started my business, I organized events, I am facilitating group programs, I'm growing with my business. There's a lot of action there too. But it was also this more, yeah, the soft side was really present there. And now I'm realizing, okay, maybe it's time for the harder, bolder, bigger action again. Because what I had been realizing too on that plane is that I have been avoiding certain activities. I have a list of people I want to invite to the podcast, like big names. And for months, I've been thinking about writing them, yet I didn't do it. It's those kind of actions that, you know, I'm talking about, like the things that really unlock exponential growth, not the small incremental steps. Another thing is that I want to move to a certain country and I know I need a visa for that, which is a tough one. And I have been thinking for a long time up until this year, okay, that visa, one day I can get it, but, you know, I'm not there yet. And for this year, I'm really realizing, okay, if I want that visa, I'm going to take the action that brings me the visa. And so I have been working on that already. But another step that I hadn't taken, which I can easily do, was talk to an immigration lawyer, because maybe they actually have some tips that will unlock that exponential growth for me again, instead of like the small steps that I've been seeing for myself. That was another action that I've been avoiding because, you know, I have no time and other things on my plate right now, etc. I cannot start the visa process anyway, so what's the point? And something else, my cat has some stress symptoms that we've been working on in the last couple of years, but it got bad again the last couple of months. And I know I need to do a few things there, but it's not like super urgent care, yet I'm not doing it. And the fact that he has stress symptoms and, you know, the things happening in the house is also preventing me from easily leaving my place and getting new people in or leaving them alone, which is impacting me too. So I have been avoiding all like these like things that I know would be good for me in the long term that would unlock something bigger. And they are super basic stuff too, like, you know, the cat stuff or inviting people on the podcast. It's not always like big things, but I had been avoiding that. And when I was on that plane, I'm like, I'm so done with myself. Like, I'm so tired of myself. I want to stop avoiding those things. And actually, the one thing that I think is the best example of what I had been avoiding, for the last couple of months, I've been in this algorithm on Instagram of like morning routine reels. And so I've been watching a lot of like girls in New York or elsewhere in the US or Canada, whatever, who film their morning routine. And I love it because I find it so soothing because their apartment is always clean. It's very simple what they do. There's a lot of discipline there too. And one part of their morning routine is always that they have an early workout in the gym. And for a long time already, for at least half a year, I've been thinking, saying to myself, I need to get back to my morning workouts because I always do a morning workout on the weekend, but I know it's good for me on during the weekdays too, because it gives me a lot of energy. And whenever I lived in a tropical country, Brazil, I did those morning workouts. It was easier for me then, because if you wait too long, it's simply too hot. So it kind of forced me to go, or either it was dark after work and it wasn't safe to run around. But now back in the Netherlands, you know, I've been thinking about it. I knew it would be good for me, but yet I wasn't doing it. There was always a reason why not to. And the reasons were, I like to start my day early and right away start with work and be productive. And also I was working out in the afternoon. Now, I would say the last couple of months, it was at least twice, three times a week. Usually, I think that's the average. What I was realizing on that plane, that was a good flight, very productive, was that I was working out, I was maintaining my fitness, my weight, my health, but I wasn't going to the level that I was really desiring. Because I'm not as strong as I was a year ago. I'm not as fit as I was a year ago. And I gained a little bit more weight than a year ago. And I want to go back to where I was a year ago because I felt really good before some of my health struggles started. And yet I was stopping myself from doing the one thing that I knew would unlock that growth for me, the morning workouts. I wasn't super conscious of it at the time. It was only on the plane that I was realizing it. But this is exactly the thing. Like, I'm maintaining my stuff. It's all going great. Little growth over time. But it's not the exponential growth to the next level that I desire. And what is needed for that is bolder action. That's waking up at 6 so that I can go to the gym before I start my day. That is the kind of energy that I came back with. And I really thought, okay, cut the crap with these small steps that are keeping you in the same space. It's time for the bigger action for the things that you have been avoiding. And when I came back home and I was talking to family about this, the words that came out of my mouth were like, it's time for a reset. I want a great reset. And so that is now the project that I'm in this phase of my life. And it's my great reset project. And only later I realized, oh, wasn't this some kind of anti-government thing during COVID with those conspiracy theories? I'm not quite sure. But anyway, this is my great reset. And this is about knowing where I want to go to my next level and not settling for something less, something that is really, truly good enough. You know, you can be happy with it, but I'm not happy with it. I want to go to that next level. And what is required for me to go there is to do the things that I've been avoiding and to take the bigger, bolder action. Now, this is not a great, strict, planned project or anything. I don't really do that except for at the start of the year. But over the days after my trip, I was thinking more and more about this like great reset energy and what it really meant for me. And I came to this conclusion. And now what it means to me is that every day I want to do something that embodies reset energy. And that really helps me to go to my next level. And it's not every day about big, bold action, but it is about showing up for myself and showing up for my dreams and showing up for my goals. So every day I ask myself, what is a reset activity I can do today? And almost every day I've done something, except for King's Day, our national day, when we partied a little bit, but maybe that was the reset I needed too. But for this week, what I'm doing is that finally it's super nice weather here in the Netherlands. And I figured, okay, this morning workout routine was the one thing that really embodied my stuckness. And so this week, every morning, I want to do a little workout and go outside and do something before I really start my day. And this is hard for me, not physically because I wake up early, but it's hard for me mentally because I really feel like I'm super productive and focused in the morning, so I don't want to lose too much precious time, you know? But I'm happy to say that yesterday I went for a walk, today I went to the gym, even though I woke up feeling exhausted because I didn't sleep well. And as you can hear my energy now, I'm energized. And that was this morning workout in the gym. It was arm day. So this week I am committing to that for myself as part of my great reset. And what I'm really realizing, the more you can keep the promises to yourself, the more confidence you also get about your future actions. Because if you have a habit of keeping your own promises, you know you can rely on that also when you think about your next habits or next actions or future things you want to do. Because if you say to yourself, that's what I'm going to do, and you have a track record of doing that 8 out of 10 times, you know there's a good chance that you'll also do it. And so you don't need to worry all the time about, oh, am I going to do this or not, etc. Just a little side note, because that really helps me to do it, because I know, hey, if I stick to my promise this week, I know this will give me greater confidence in my own skills and being. So this week I'm doing that. I've also contacted an immigration lawyer. I have started working with a cat on some things again, my dear Bobby, who is sitting right next to me right now. I've sorted out things in the house that I needed to sort out, in the garden as well, like things that I had just been avoiding. I also did some things in my business that I had meant to do for months. They have been waiting for me for months. I invited those names to the podcast. I'm still waiting to hear from them. I sent some emails that I needed to send. So all the things that I had been avoiding for months, either because of resistance or simply procrastination and I didn't feel like it, I have been doing them. I've started doing them. And it's been already unlocking great energy for me. I really feel something good has started to unfold, actually already before the Great Reset. But now that I'm also really matching that energy and embodying that vibe, I really feel, okay, good things are coming. Now, it might also be the weather that is just simply boosting my mood, but let's just say it's the Great Reset project. And so why I'm sharing all of this is that I really hope I can inspire you with this, because we all have these moments where we just feel, we feel stuck either in an environment that doesn't suit us anymore because we outgrew it, or because there are certain external factors that make us stay somewhere, either physically at a location, but perhaps also, you know, at a job or in a mental place somewhere, you know, where you are just like, I can't really get out of this trap I find myself in. Or maybe you are not trapped, but your energy is just low and you are kind of wondering, is this it? And you're missing some inspiration and just some different kind of vibes in your life. You know, you can have your reset too. And I want to invite you to assess for yourself, where in your life aren't you where you hoped you would be by now? Whether that's your job, your relationships, your location, friendships, health, finances, or maybe it's not one particular area of your life, but it's more like this overall feeling like, hey, I just want to feel more in control. I want to feel more like I'm in the driver's seat. I want to feel more that I'm really living my life in a way that really lights up my soul. If you are in any of those phases in your life, you can have your reset. And maybe you want to do it with me too, because I'm going to continue this for the next couple of weeks, hopefully next couple of months, maybe longer. And the great thing is that you can do this reset anytime, anywhere. You don't need a new year for it. You don't need to be in a different location. Yes, some of the things won't be possible in your Great Reset. There are some changes that I desperately want that aren't possible in the here and now. But what I can do is I can embody that energy of those changes. I can embody the energy of the person who has already achieved that goal. I can also think about the energy that is required to make that change happen and embody that energy. So it's not really about the actual change that you want, the tangible thing. It's really about the energy behind it. And can you embody that more in your life? My morning workouts are not going to help me move to another country, but they will lock in that energy of like, yes, I can do it. Let me go get it. I feel strong. I feel confident. That's what I'm talking about. So I hope this episode inspired you and also to know for you like, hey, I'm not the only one going through a bit of like a meh phase. And you know, we don't have to settle for mass. Sometimes we feel we need to be so grateful for what we already have. And I agree, it's important to be grateful. It's important to enjoy where we are now. Don't focus on the gap only, but also don't feel like you have to settle for less. I feel that in my country, the Netherlands, that is often the norm. Just settle for what you have. And I don't want to settle for less. I want to go for great. So if you feel that same way, you're not the only one. And I hope you get some inspiration from my Great Reset project. I would love to hear if it resonated with you. If you are starting your own Great Reset project too, if you are making a few changes, if you're committing to something, because saying that out loud to someone else or writing it down really helps to make that change possible, because then you can't deny it anymore because you brought it out in written form in the world. So let me know if you are starting something similar or if you just got a lot of inspiration and energy from this episode, because it's nice to know we're not the only ones doing it. And also for me to know if I should create more of these episodes. You can contact me on Instagram, send me a DM there, send me a DM on LinkedIn, or write me an email, info@amandamaximecoaching.com. And while you're at it, let me know what you thought of this episode. I always respond personally. It's really me on the other side. I'd love to hear from you. And for now, I just wish you a great day with a lot of reset energy. Go after what you want. And I'll talk to you soon again with another personal story of, will I go back to diplomacy? You'll find out soon. Bye-bye.